You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Dominique Levike. We talk about a time in her life when, due to a sudden crisis, she ended up broke with kids and no backup plan. And then we talk about how she rebuilt from there. So I will tell you that I just said she had a sudden crisis. Whatever you're thinking in your mind that this crisis could be, you might be wrong, because I was surprised. This crisis that she experienced could almost be a movie plot. Now, I don't want to oversell it, but I will admit that I was surprised. All right. And with that, it's time. Let's get to the story. Dominique Levike, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
Oh my God, yes. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I am thrilled to do this. All right, I start out with the same question with all of my wonderful guests every single time. What part of the world do you call home?
This moment, it's Quebec, Canada.
Quebec, fabulous, fabulous. All right, now next question. What is your favorite way to transition from busy, being busy, to downtime?
I have two favorite ways. One way is either a coffee or a tea. Can't get easier than that. And the second way is actually breathing.
Breathing, breath work. Oh, those are power moves in regulation and, you know, all the things. I love that. Good tips. All right. Today, we're going to talk about restarting and rebuilding. You shared with me that a few years ago, you left your community that you thought was part of your successful life. So the first question that I have to begin this conversation is, how long ago was it that you made this change in your life?
So I did that twice. The last one was probably the hardest one. That one was 7 years ago.
All right. So 7 years ago. And so before we talk about this specific change 7 years ago and leaving, I think I'm going to call it a situation. I want to learn a little bit more about what it was and how you got there, if you're willing to share. So share with you what you want to about your life before this change 7 years ago. What did it look like?
So I've been a nomad for over 30 years, traveled all over the world, worked all over the world. You know, I never really fit in the societal norm. I decided I wanted to be somewhere, I would go to that place. I wanted to do this, I would go and do this, started business this and there, everywhere, right? But with that comes a lot of fun. It also comes learning on, you know, while doing, if I can say it this way. And I was living a lot of things that to others looked like it was beautiful and wonderful. But if I would have known, I was living from conditioning. And so I did a lot of mistakes that if I would have understood the conditioning before, I wouldn't have made them. Now I know there are lessons, but when you're living them, you know, you're wondering, what did I do wrong? And so I traveled, I did everything I wanted. I'm very, very impulsive in everything that I've done, but it always worked out until I met a family that I thought they were my family. I thought that I had found the best place, the best business, the best community, the best village, the best everything. And little did I know that I was living from the conditioning of wanting my own family, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be part of something that was way bigger than what I thought. And I ended up on the streets.
Okay. Now I am understanding more about what happened. So a couple things to touch base on there. If you've been a nomad for 30 years, you were a nomad before people were talking about it, before it was
cool. Oh my God, yes.
So that's definitely something. And so then when you're nomadic, one of the challenges or opportunities or things that you manage is intentionally creating or finding supportive community
Yes.
for your life. Okay. And I have not done that through experience as a nomad, but it's also true if we move. Like anytime you move locations, you go away to college, you change your town, you move across town, actually, change your job. Those are changes in community that affect the support. Okay. So you found a family and what you thought was a community that was going to be, that was for you, that was going to support you and all of those things. And then you were pushed out. This was not a choice. You were pushed out and you had to leave that situation and you ended up just on the streets. Like, tell me what
Oh,
happened.
yeah, I ended up leaving. I ended up having nothing. I mean, I've always been very successful in business. I would start businesses, then sell them, then go to another place. When you're a nomadic person, you have very different way of seeing the world. I didn't need a house. I didn't need a car. I didn't have to pay electricity. You kind of live most of the time in rental places where you don't really own anything. So there's a lot of place to put money aside if you know how to use your money. So when I reached that community, I had a very, very big idea in an industry that I had never worked in. But I just thought, well, I can make a lot of money for my kids, which were also nomadic. Finally, they can have a place where they can call home, even though home is really where your heart is, which mine is in the entire world. I just had this idea. If I didn't live that, maybe they want that. So I wanted it for them. And at the same time, there's people around that helped me believe that the universe was putting everything in its place for me to have this grand business, which went extremely well. And when I was ready to sell it, the government and that particular family stepped in and made me lose everything. When I say made me, they had arranged everything. It was in Central America. A lot of money was invested. A lot of money was going to be gained from that sale. And for me, in my head, I was so happy because my kids were set and they could travel the world, carefree and just go work where they wanted and kind of have the same life that I had. But living from conditioning makes you see the red flags and not pay attention to them. And so 3 weeks before we were selling that business, which was extremely successful, the government just took everything away and we were expatriated from the country.
Wow. Okay. So would you say that the theme in this conversation is more about relationships and community or about business and finance?
I think it's a lot about conditioning because you can have the business, the finance, the emotional intelligence, the everything. If you're living from a conditioning place, you're living from your not aligned self, you're still going to make all the mistakes that are like when you're looking at them, like, oh, that was a rookie mistake. There are lessons, but when you don't know that they come from the conditioning, for some reason, we don't look at them for what they are. Like when you have a business, you're either making money or you're losing money, but there's no like in between. You can be neutral, but you're making or you're losing, and it's easy. I'm making, well, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to reinvest? Am I going to, like just put it aside? There's decisions to make. When you're losing, what am I going to do with this? Is it time to close, realign, reassess? But when you're living from your conditioning, you're always losing because you're not aligned. And
Okay.
then there are a lot of choices to make in that not alignment. And those choices are hard because you have to look at yourself and you have to understand, see the red flags, and have people that care enough to really tell you what is going on.
Yeah. So let's talk more about what conditioning is and about seeing red flags. And then we'll talk about what happened because now I understand more about what was going on. We'll talk about some of the things, the cultural things, because you South America and living as an expat or an international citizen probably has some special things about it that people may or may not know. So when we talk about conditioning, share with me, I have a concept of what I think conditioning means, but what do you mean when you say that?
So when you live from the conditioning, so we are all whole. Everybody is born in this planet on this timeline as a whole human being. That is perfect. in itself. We all have our own soul, our own ways of thinking, our own, like everything is there. But as we grow, we get shaped. Let's, we're like Plato. So if you go to church, you hear whatever the church has to say. You go to school, you hear what the school has to say, what your parents have to say. Then you start hanging out with some people, what they have to say, and they come with their own have to say. And then you listen. Right now, these generations, they have a lot of the internet. So they're listening to what people that they don't even know have to say. And all of that conditions your thoughts, conditions your way of thinking, your way of being, your way of acting. And so you can be aligned, be the whole of who you are, and you also have that conditioning. And when you know the difference, you're able. So for me right now, if I would not go into a discussion about something I don't like, I would know that I'm in my conditioning of wanting to be accepted, because when I grew up, I was told, be cute and shut up.
So yeah, that's so the role of conditioning. One of the things that makes conditioning, societal conditioning, community conditioning, tough, which leads us to talk about why the red flags are so hard to see, which you mentioned. The phrase I use all the time that I didn't invent, I got it from somebody else, is it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle,
Indeed.
and because you're not aware of the impact of conditioning usually, until something changes. And then all of a sudden it shows up. So, for example, let's use something that's like totally not controversial. If you grow up in a tropical location and you every day of your life has been warm and humid, and you travel to a northern location like Canada in the winter, you will be confronted with something that's completely different than anything you've ever been experienced. And there's really no way to prepare for it, right? There's no way to prepare for it. And it will be shocking. And you will only discover that you are not prepared for it when you walk out of, the airport door and you're like, oh, wow, this is what people mean when they say it's cold outside, because you've like never actually experienced it. You have no context. Is that my metaphor and my description
That
align
your
with what?
metaphor is incredible. I love
Okay, so
it.
there you go. So, all right, very good. So this was not a choice to leave. You were in South America or Central America, and you were there as a nomad. You were doing business in that country, and when you closed the business or you engaged in the transaction, it did not work. And the country said, no, thank you, and you have to leave straight away.
Oh no, it did work. That's the problem. It was working very, very well. And the government saw that. And the family that had planned this whole scheme, they decided that I no longer existed in this country. And so we got taken out of the country so that they can take the business. Now
Yes.
life is funny, right? Because that business, they weren't able to manage it because I never taught them that. And so the business no longer exists. They never made the sale, but
All
life
right.
works in its own ways.
So you were asked or told very suddenly then with an urgent set of change of circumstances. All right. So what you said is that you were broke with two kids and no backup plan. That's what you told me. And
Exactly.
when I hear that, that sounds like a very stressful set of circumstances to me. So if I ask you to think back to that time and put yourself in that moment, what was going on in your mind, state of mind as a parent, as a woman, as an adult, and your emotional state at that time?
I learned very, very fast what somatics are. I had a lot of vocabulary and a lot of knowledge already in self-awareness and, self-work and energy and stuff like that, which I believe is one of the reasons why I am still sane and thriving today. But when all of that happened, I went into shock, like a literal shock. I don't think that for at least 3 months, my brain actually functioned. It was just find safety, find trying to not be on that like survival mode, but at the same thing survive same time surviving, because you have kids in
Yeah.
tow and it's not their fault, and I had done everything for them to thrive be after, all of that in my head, but it's not the way it is really when you analyze it, right? But in my head, it was, don't beat yourself up because it's gonna make no difference. Just get them to a place that is safe and rebuild. This is my survival. Remember, I've been a nomad for so long. So for me, getting out of a place and getting into another one, even another country, is easy. Most people would have probably reacted a very different way. But for me, it was get them to a safe place, regroup, and rebuild. That was my safety, but my brain was completely off. Like I could get food, get shelter, and that was it. I probably a little bit more than 3 months. My nervous system completely shut down.
I think that I don't think it's hard to imagine that in that situation to have a sudden severe disruption in the security of your life. So, I mean, it's super old, right? But there's Maslow, who was, I mean, it's a long time ago. This is like, and everybody's heard of him in like their basic psychology courses, but he created that hierarchy of needs, which really is that when you don't have the basics, which in a modern sense includes a place to be safe, a structure to be safe, and food, and Wi-Fi, in a very modern sense, that those things take full priority. You cannot think about anything else, at the time. And I don't know whether or not that's been changed with, I'm not an expert on it, but it still rings true. It passes the common sense test to me. Like when those things are there, that you get very much tunnel vision, in your life. And it's only once you address those things that you can begin to rebuild an intentional life.
Indeed.
I think that's my, so rebuilding, it sounds funny to say rebuilding an intentional life or building an intentional life. 'Cause I think that a lot of times we have, when we're young, we have this assumption that if we follow the instructions, the unwritten instructions, that those things, the intentional good life just shows up. Yeah. So, all right. So 3 months of survival. And you said something very interesting, which I think is really easy. You describe it as easy to do this repositioning with your kids in tow. If I ask you, is it easy or is this something that you had a good skill set and knew how to
Well,
do?
that's what I mean, because I've been doing it for so long, but usually I do it with having a thriving business on the side, right? So this
Yeah.
time it was like, well, I'm actually forced to do this. I'm in places that I have no idea. I mean, I'm lucky I speak Spanish perfectly. I just picked the first country that I knew that it was easy to get in and was safe, and we went to Panama.
Okay.
But for a lot of people, I stop and I think for a lot of people what this could have looked like, you know, and I feel very privileged to have been a nomad my entire life, because even though it was a real crisis, it didn't feel that much, you know, like I wasn't being stretched so much into the moving. It was more the rebuilding without beating myself up, and now understanding how the conditioning came in place so that I don't redo that again and again and again.
All right, so very good. So, what were some of the beliefs that came up that you were questioning at the time as you were going through this adjustment before you began to rebuild?
So I went through a lot. I tried to evade the truth. This is really, I think we do that, you know, and that when we get out of the survival, I thought, well, maybe I have money beliefs. And so
Okay.
I went in my back and I'm like, yeah, okay, it's not money. You know, I didn't want to talk about that relationship. Me growing up without a strong family structure, wanting to give that to my kids at whatever cost. And that came the cost, you know, but
Okay.
I went through everything before that. Like I did. Again, like I said, I've already had studied a lot of coaching programs and self-awareness and this and that, you know, so I had the basic. So understanding that the knowledge is nothing if you don't embody it and bring it into wisdom. And then I was like, okay, stop lying to yourself because it's just going to rehappen again, you know? And then I had an opportunity to invest in something else that I knew I was going to make money, and I stopped myself before and I said, why are you doing this? Now I was asking the right questions. So now we're good. But I did have to ask the right question and face the truth that I knew that I didn't want to, that it was hard, it hurt, and without beating myself up, because everything is okay. And I think
Okay.
that's a really important point. We can go through highs and lows, but if when we're in the lows, we beat ourselves up because we're in the low, I don't think we get back up. We just stay there and we make ourselves believe we're going back up.
So you said a lot there, and I'm going to pull some things out. One of the things you hit on is awareness of beliefs that you're carrying forward from your own experience, which is, I think is very hard to see. Sometimes you call these origin stories, and in my own experience, and again, I am not the expert, but you either, like, if you have a great experience in your origin story, you might want to repeat it and do the same thing, like traditions, like we do the same, family traditions if we love them. Or you can have a totally different one where it's like, well, that sucked. And so I never want to do that. That's like the anti-hero, right? And so sounds like you had some of the, okay, I do not want to repeat these things that happened to me in my own life. But you were aware, and you were aware of them, if I'm understanding correct, partly because you had done a lot of self-development work and coaching programs that helped you find those tools. Does that sound
Exactly.
okay? So you shared that this experience, this crisis, forced you to rebuild from the inside out from intuition. Can you share a little bit more about what that means and what the role of intuition is in being intentional for you?
Of course. So let's move back. I used to use my intuition to be impulsive. I used to use my intuition to go wherever I want, and I knew that the universe had my back. So I was living from what I thought was the truth.
Okay.
And that served me right, most of my life until that happened. And after that, my intuition was more a sense of this is exactly where I need to be. It feels peaceful. It doesn't feel like a thrill. It feels like, I can breathe into this. I can learn into this. I can feel into this. And it doesn't have to be an overgoing adventure that might take me onto the cliff that I have to jump. So that's the two different ways of looking for me at intuition. I am an impulsive person. I know that about me. But now I understand that I was mistaking my intuition with my conditioning. And now I live more for a from, I'm going to say the whole of who we are. I did a lot of human design, which helped me a lot as well. But I know who I am. I've studied who I am. And now, when my intuition, it's me trying to trick my intuition to go back into a thrill, I have the red flag and I see it because I've learned. I don't
Yeah.
know if I answered your question.
I think so. I think so. So I think that because you mentioned earlier that one of the things that you were really trying to do at this time was make sure you didn't repeat a series of mistakes. And what I think I'm hearing you saying, and correct me if I get it wrong, is that you were really trying to be self-aware and not internalize this judgment just because something had happened to you.
Indeed.
It's very easy when things go wrong to, especially for women, to just jump to the conclusion and say, the reason this bad thing happened is because I wasn't enough,
Yes.
and or I did something wrong, or I'm not good enough. And so I hear people talk about that. So then this is you setting up sort of your guide rails or your filters where you're running your intuition sort of through this. You're like, all right, is this does this align with where I want to go versus where I've been? Ooh, is
Exactly.
that
And
right?
it doesn't happen in my head anymore. It happens in my body. Like
Okay.
before I was able to trick because I was like, well, yeah, the universe is putting all the sign, but now I don't trick it because I feel it.
And
There's
that's
that
the
peace.
somatic.
Yes. And
That's
that's
the somatic.
peaceful intuition is like some people call it the higher self or, the inner knowing. It's basically my gut saying yes or no.
As opposed to, like, to make sure that I'm understanding it. So this is like a somatic experience that you're feeling and sensing in your body as intuition, as opposed to intellectual cognition, like sitting down and making a pros and cons list.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I think I got it. I think I got it. I think I understand what you were doing. All right. So tell us a little bit more how you moved forward from this spot of Being broke with no backup plan and feeling untethered. So, like, I think that means a lack of community and connection. What were a few of the things that you did that helped you change that sensation and reality for yourself?
So we were living in Panama. I had found the safe place. I found, our barrier. We were in a beautiful village, and I thought, what do I know? And
Okay.
what are the basic things that I know work, that have always worked for me? Let me not go into only theory here. And I know how to make plans happen. And so I went into the coffee shops, and I made a project. I made a workshop on how to make plans happen through your intuition, but the real plan, is it only making a vision board? So let's make the basic, the vision board, and how do I make my vision board become a real thing? So I started
Okay.
making workshops that became popular. Then people were calling me to go and give the workshops. So now I was able to feed my family again. And that's how everything kind of evolved, because every time I would have a new idea, I would feel the idea, not only think the idea. When I felt the idea was right, then I would put it on paper, still be smart about it, and then say, okay, does this fit with what I want? Before, if the
Okay.
idea was making money, I'm like, let's go do it. But now it's not only that, because I'm not going to go back into that conditioning, right? So now it was more, okay, I feel the idea, I write the idea, and then I put that idea against my values
Yeah.
and my goals, my dreams. And does it fit? And if it does, then I make it happen.
That is a really interesting way to describe that. I think that that sort of methodology shows up in a bunch of different places when we're talking about transition advice. So, books like, What Color Is Your Parachute? The idea, Gandy Hendrix's idea of the zone of genius, any of those sort of things where you're trying to intentionally make something, a change in your life happen, people will say, all right, well, look at your skills and look at what you know what to do and look at what you're good at. And there's a risk there that sometimes shows up where you can, instead of, you can pick what other people say that you're good at and what is good for other people. So, like, you're very good at making dinner for the family, or you're very good at scheduling things in the office. But then what you're saying is, you might really might be, but does that line up with what you actually want to do? Like, and you don't have to repeat it just because you're good at it. You can run it through the filter and make it into something that's building what you want. Is that right? Did I
It
get that
is.
right?
It is. I
Okay.
always say, there's one sentence when people come and work with me, I tell them, you can know how to do it, but it doesn't mean you have to do it.
Yeah, right. Okay, I love that. All right, very good. So you shared that you were rebuilding your life with a commitment to truth over belonging. I think I understand more about where you're coming here from then. I wasn't exactly sure what you were saying when I first read it, and I felt like there was a lot more probably hidden in that sentiment. But it sounds like this is your filter in building the life, the intentional life that you wanted to create. So this is almost like it's your North Star. So share some of the things that became, your truth and your filter as you were doing this. And what is the role of belonging? Why is that kind of like the cost or the price that used to be there?
So the first question, what is like my guidelines? My
Yeah.
guidelines is truth, so honesty with myself and with others, with myself first. If I
Okay.
can't be honest with myself, I can't be honest with others. Authenticity. So even though I've learned from so many teachers, if I can't embody the knowledge, turn it into wisdom that I can use for myself, I will not use it for
Okay.
others. And then another thing that I've learned to a great cost is I went into a lot of coaching programs, a lot of therapy, a lot of things that cost a lot of money that did not give the results that they were promising. And so,
Okay.
one of my guidelines is what I'm going to put into the world, is it achievable for a bigger amount of people?
Okay.
I'm not saying high ticket prices are bad at all. I love high ticket, offers. I love low ticket offers. But for my community, my audience, the people that I like to work with that are being served from my product, can they be there without overstretching their nervous system? Because that happened to me when I went with from going from a very good life to what most people would say is a very bad life, but it wasn't bad, right? It was a huge learning. I overstretched in all the ways, and I want people to be able to be happy with what they have, which is why I work colors. I work with colors and sacred geometry and energy because it is everywhere.
All right, so very good. So, and then the next part of the thing that I wanted to touch back, so commitment to truth, and we're talking about truth with your personal identity and your values, I think, is what you're talking
Yes.
about. Okay, so, and then over belonging. And so what is the role, so in that phrase, it sounds to me like belonging was almost the price or the
Well, it was definitely the price I had to pay because I grew up with the lack of a family structure. And so I looked for that my entire life. I
okay.
looked for people that made me feel like I belonged instead of me making myself belong into my own body and then belonging to what would come up. I would not force myself, be with people that made me believe. I was always very successful, very lucky. I think that I'm still am, but like I was successful from the age of 13. I had successful businesses. So a lot of the people that made me feel belonging is because I was also contributing to their financial. I didn't see that because
Okay.
my thing was, oh, it's fun here. I like it. The people are nice. It feels good, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So then the lesson that came from the experience where you were forced out, is that to be careful about trusting the groups, to not assume that just because it matched and it felt good that you were truly belonging in that space and be able to generate that safety for yourself without exposing yourself to risk within a community. Is that
I
is
think I
that?
finally understood when they say it all starts from within.
Yeah.
I finally understood that.
What's the funny thing about community and belonging is that sometimes it is that it really it, you can have the same group of people, and some people will feel very comfortable and like they belong, and other people will not. And you can be in a room full of people, you can be in a house full of people, you can live in a building full of people and still feel very much alone. It's a complicated concept, I think. All
Yeah,
right,
I
so
believe so too.
One last question before we wrap up. We talked about what life looked like before. We talked about what caused this incredible shift in your life and the need to rebuild. What is life like? This is 7 years ago, 3 months of real, high stress and then rebuilding. What's life like for you and the kids, if they're still kids? What's life like for you today? What's the difference?
Well, today I'm very, very happy in my work because I stick to my goals, right? I have an authentic business. I am honest with myself and with others in this business, and I can create that community that everybody feels like they don't have to lie about who they are. So we work with colors, we work with sacred geometry, with human design. So everybody knows the whole of who they are, and they are allowed to come in those communities and be everything and feel everything and talk everything. And there's no judgment. We're all, the observers, and we're all here to help each other. I teach people how to use the colors to get sometimes those truths that we don't even know what they are. Like the colors, they show up. The sacred geometry, it shows up. The energy, it shows up. Sometimes we don't know how to interpret it, but everything has a science behind it. So after you look into yourself, you see that truth, and sometimes you need a little bit of outside help. So we use the colors and we use everything else to bring that truth so that in the 3D, because this is where we live, we can use all that information and Be successful, be happy, be joyful, be whatever it is that you want to be. It's not other people to tell you what they want you to be. It's you to tell yourself how and what you want to be.
All right, very good. So I have never talked to anybody who has talked about colors and geometry in this way. I want to give you a chance to very specifically tell the listeners what it is that you do. Would you describe yourself as a coach?
So what I call myself an intuitive coach, but I
Okay.
really teach people to be their own intuitive coach through the
Okay.
colors and the energy.
All right, and very good. All right, so you have a special offer for the audience that I'll share, which is a quiz, a free intuitive color quiz, which I've never heard anything like this. So this is very, a lot of fun. What color are you resonating with right now? And there's a link for this free quiz in the show notes for everybody. So that's on the audio platforms, it's on YouTube. And the easiest way for everybody to get the links is always to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email list. Then it just shows up in your email and you can click on it, easy peasy, all of the offers from all of the guests. So that's what I recommend. All right, Dominique, I want to say thank you very much for sharing that with us and sharing that offer for the audience. Are you ready for the three fun questions?
Yes.
Let's do it. On a rainy day, what is an activity that you like to do inside?
Read.
Very nice. Do you like to read real books, like hardcover books, or do you use an e-reader?
I like, no, I read real books.
Okay. A lot of people I talk to, real books. It's very, I can do both, but I'm very, I don't have a, I like the fact that the e-reader lights up because I can have it be the only light in my room. I don't, that's just me. That's just me. I have no allegiance either way. Okay. So that those were follow-up questions. They don't count. We're still on. That was question. That was all question number one. Number two. What is your favorite way? I didn't know you were nomadic before I wrote this. So this is going to be great. What is your favorite way to travel? By car, plane, on a cruise ship, a train, or another way altogether?
I really like trains. I haven't done it in a long time, but I really like trains.
Very cool. Very cool. Trains can be a lot of fun. I would love to do one of the like really luxurious sort of scenic touristy trains. They look like they would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
They look like that would be a lot of fun. So, all right, last one. Have you ever had a celebrity crush? And if so, are you brave enough to tell us who it was?
I don't think I have. I've never really watched TV. No, I don't think I have.
Good for you. All right, good job. All right, that's it, Dominique Levesque. Thank you for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.